Today, getting into things, today we come together to reflect on the goodness of our Lord and Savior. It's a Thanksgiving itself is a very unique and very powerful theme that we see in all of Scripture. When we look at Thanksgiving in Scripture, we see that it's not just an outward act, but it's a heartfelt response to who God is and all that He's done. So if you have your Bibles, turn with me to Psalm 100. We will be there today. If you're using a Pew Bible, that should be somewhere around page 500. As you're turning there, just a little bit of information about Psalm 100. It's a relatively short psalm. It's a call to worship. It's an invitation to thanksgiving. It's packed with profound truths in just five short verses about God and His relationship with His people. If you look closely, depending on your Bible, the little headline above it may say that it is a psalm for Thanksgiving. Some translations may be say it's a psalm for giving thanks. But in reality, it's just a blueprint for Thanksgiving and what that should look like. It reveals how we are to thank God and why we are to be thankful to God. The message found in these five verses are for everyone. If you're a believer, the psalm reminds us of the joy and the thankfulness that we have in our life, all because of the grace of God and the thankful life that God Himself calls us to live. If you're not a believer, and I want to make it clear that if you're not a believer, that the thankfulness that we're going to look at today is not even possible without a relationship, knowing by faith Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. And so, if you're not a believer and you have questions, then I encourage you today, before you even leave today in our time of fellowship, to find someone and ask those questions. Thinking about Thanksgiving, it's the beginning of what we know the holiday season. Many of us are going to spend time this week with our family and friends. We're going to gather together around a table. We'll eat a meal, watch a parade, maybe watch some football, get full, take a nap. Those are all good things, by the way. That's all good stuff. But Thanksgiving, according to Psalm 100, reminds us that it's not just a once-a-year event. Even though we are taking time and focusing on it today for us as believers, Thanksgiving should be part of our daily worship. Paul writes this in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. He says, "Give thanks in all circumstances, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you." We know this. But if we're really being honest in our time here today, we struggle with being thankful. Not just around the holiday time, but on a daily basis, we just struggle with being thankful. Why? Well, it's our human nature. It's who we are. By nature, we're ungrateful people. By our nature, we naturally seek to serve ourselves and look out for our own interest over the interest of others. And so, as selfish and ungrateful people, we really take God's blessings for granted. We complain about the things that we don't have, and when we look at the things that we do have, we want more. And we focus on ourselves. Psalm 100 confronts all of those thoughts, each and every single one. It makes us look at our attitude, and it also just gives us a roadmap for what a life full of thanksgiving looks like. So, as we walk through these verses, we're going to see a couple things. The first thing we're going to see when we look at this passage is a call to thanksgiving. How and why we're called to thank God. We're going to see that in verses 1 and 2. We're going to see a foundation for thanksgiving. And these are probably my two favorite verses in this psalm specifically, because they talk about the truths that make it possible for us to be thankful. And then we're going to see the confidence of thanksgiving and why we can always give thanks regarding our circumstances in verse 5. So let's read Psalm 100. It says, "Make a joyful noise to the Lord, all the earth. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come into his presence with singing. Know that the Lord, he is God. It is he who made us, and we are his. We are his people and the sheep of his pasture. Enter his gates with thanksgiving and his courts with praise. Give thanks to him. Bless his name. For the Lord is good. His steadfast love endures forever. And his faithfulness to all, and his faithfulness to all generations." As we continue, would you pray with me one more time this morning? Heavenly Father, we again just come before you with hearts full of gratitude and awe that we can open your word this morning, full of thanks that we have the opportunity to sit underneath your word this morning. We thank you for the gift of Scripture, that it reveals to us your character and your promises and your love for us. And as we look at this passage today, Lord, we are clearly reminded of your goodness and your steadfast love and your faithfulness that endures through all generations. But Lord, in this time, we also are being honest and we want to confess that we don't always approach you with thanksgiving the way that we should. Too often we allow things in this world to cloud our joy and our gratitude, and we ask, Lord, that you forgive us of that. Father, we pray that you renew in us and in our hearts a desire and an awakening to be grateful, and that you will allow our hearts to rejoice in who you are. Lord, may your Spirit be at work in us. We ask that you open our eyes to see your truth, that you soften our hearts in this time as we so we can receive your word. Lord, transform us to be more in the image of Christ so that we can more clearly reflect your glory. Fill us with this deep sense of thanksgiving that overflows into service and praise and worship, not just today, but each and every day. Lord, we ask all of this in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. And it's in his name we pray. Amen. Pam said this morning, short sermon, I'm hungry already. I'm sorry. Forgive me. I figured long sermon, long meal. No. So let's just dig into the passage. I will try to move as fast as we can through this. That way we can all get to some good food. I'm hungry as well. So the psalm begins. We said it's a call to worship. It's a call for thanksgiving. It's an invitation for thanksgiving. The writer of the psalm begins and he says, "Make a joyful noise to the Lord, all the earth. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come into his presence with singing." Notice something here, that these few short lines here at the beginning are not quiet. They're not reserved. They're meant to be spoken loudly, boldly, full of joy. They're full volume. They hold nothing back as they call all of creation to worship God, to approach God with praise and joy. And that's the first thing we see here in this passage, is that this is a call for all the earth to rejoice. This is a universal invitation that reveals that thanksgiving is not just for the nation of Israel, as the psalmist is writing this. It is not just for us as believers, as Christians today. It's a call for all nations, all people, all of creation to give praise to the one true God. It includes everyone. This echoes Psalm 96, verse 1, "Sing to the Lord, all the earth." Well, okay, we get that. But why is it so important? If you are in your Bibles, follow me briefly to Acts chapter 17. We're going to look at some good truth here. Acts chapter 17, verses 24 through 28. And we see that God is not a regional God. He doesn't just belong to a specific group of people the way that we like to compartmentalize him and think, oh, he just belongs to Christians, or he just belongs to these people or those people. No, he belongs to everyone. We also learn here that God is not just confined to a specific area. He's not confined to a building. He's not just confined to the United States. He's not just confined to the nation of Israel. He is creator and sustainer of all things. And that's what Paul is affirming here as we look at Acts 17, verses 24 through 28. He says, "The God who made the world and everything in it, being Lord of heaven and earth, does not live in temples made by man, nor is he served by human hands as though he needed anything, since he himself gives all mankind life and breath and everything. And he made from one man every nation of mankind to live on all the face of the earth, having determined allotted periods and boundaries of all of their dwelling place, and they should that they should seek God and perhaps feel their way toward him and find him. Yet he is actually not far from each one of us. For in him we live and move and have our being, as even some of your own poets have said, for we are indeed his offspring." This is an amazing truth. This is Paul echoing the truths that if we were to go back to the very beginning of our Bibles in Genesis and read, Paul here is declaring and echoing those same truths, that God made the world and everything in it, that he is giving life and breath to all mankind, that he even made every single nation that we have, all of the boundaries, all of the dwelling places. So why? That they should seek him and be close to him. That is why. So this call that we see in Psalm 100 for thanksgiving is for all of the earth to worship and give praise to the Lord, no matter where they may live or matter where you may be. The next thing we notice is the tone of this passage. He says, "Make a joyful noise to the Lord." Thanksgiving, according to Scripture, is not something that is unfriendly or mechanical. It's marked by joy that comes from a knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. It says, "Make a joyful noise." In Hebrew, this means to shout. In other words, enter with shouting. I don't know what that really looks like for you. I know what it would look like for me, but I'm pretty sure that it's not this. That doesn't sound like a shout. What does our worship look like? It's to be full of joy, full of gladness, full of gratitude. We are to make a joyful noise. And I get it. I understand that there are things that happen that make that difficult. Not just on a day that we celebrate Thanksgiving. Not just in a season of Advent that we're getting to go into. Like you, I have several great memories of this season of loved ones who are not here anymore. And those memories can really make it difficult at times to worship and give praise and give glory with joy. They bog that down, they cloud it, they distract it. But that's not what we're called to do here. I understand that. I get there are things in life that make it difficult to sing and to lift our voice and to praise God. But the encouragement here is to not ever let any of those things just kind of suck the joy out of your relationship and praise to God the Father. Many of us will tend to struggle with vocal praises to the Lord, not just in singing, but even talking and giving testimonies about all the goodness the Lord has done in our lives. But we need to remember that we are his creation that we just talked about briefly, and that as part of his creation, we've talked about this several months ago, that we are created to sing. And so just briefly in that, if we are created to sing, we need to understand it's not just a byproduct of creation, that it didn't just happen by some odd result. No, that's part of God's intention, that we are created to sing, and when we worship and praise the Lord, here's the thing I don't really think I touched on at that point, that when we sing praises to the Lord, when we worship the Lord, science has shown that our brains work differently than if we were to just talk. Now, science also tells us, because they've done more research on this, that our brains don't just work differently when we praise songs and talk, but they also work differently when we sing, like the songs that we sang this morning, versus the songs that you hear on the radio. You can sing a country song, any other genre of music. You can sing any of those songs, but then you turn around and sing a praise song, a worship song. They've noticed a change in how your brain works there as well. So it's not just singing, it's what you sing. There's a difference that happens in our brains there. So we really begin to see that we are created to sing, and we are created to worship our God. That's the interesting part there, because it's part of who we are created to be. And then apart from that, we also see that we're commanded to sing, to make a joyful noise to the Lord. We just finished the book of Philippians. Remember there in chapter 4, Paul says to rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I will say rejoice. Remember where Paul was when he wrote that. He's in prison. His joy isn't rooted in comfort or ease. It's in the unchanging goodness of God. So that when we declare verbally, vocally, our praises to the Lord with joy, what does it do? It glorifies his name. It brings us into his presence. And so my prayer for part of this Thanksgiving season, even going into the Advent season, is that the Lord would give us all a joyful noise that we would not hold back. That we would sing with our hearts and our minds and our souls and glorify the Lord in that. We see in verse 2 a command to serve the Lord with gladness and come into his presence with singing. Thanksgiving isn't passive. You can't just sit there. If we're doing it well, it's going to engage our hearts, it's going to engage our minds, and we're going to be active. To serve the Lord with gladness speaks of a life that is dedicated to worshiping and serving the Lord in obedience. Romans 12, chapter 1, describes this as an offering of our bodies as a living sacrifice that is wholly acceptable to God, which is your spiritual worship. Now, we're never to allow our work for the Lord to become a chore or a boring routine. Anybody guilty of that? Be honest. Don't grow weary in doing well for the Lord. The word gladness here in this verse literally means to delight in what we are doing, to have joy in what we are doing. This means that our service to the Lord is a cause for our rejoicing. But we often see it as a chore, and we should view it as a privilege because we have been redeemed by the grace of God and have been chosen by the Lord to do his work and his will in this world. When we look at the phrase, come into his presence with singing, it reminds us of the privilege that we have of drawing near to God. Come into his presence with singing literally means a ringing cry. Lifting our souls and our voices to the Lord through song is a wonderful way just to bless him and praise him. That's all this psalm is telling us to do. In case make a joyful noise and singing wasn't enough for us to understand that we are called to sing and we are created to sing and we are to be thankful and glad when we are singing and worshiping, Psalm 68, verse 32 tells us, O kingdom of the earth, sing to God, sing praises to the Lord, and Psalm 40, verses 1 through 3, there David declares that along with salvation comes a new song of praise to the Lord. So don't ever hesitate to sing songs of praise and give glory to the Lord in your life. When you do, it glorifies Him, and it tells Him and other people that we are just simply willing to praise Him and that our songs are filled with joy no matter where we are and no matter what we're going through in our life. As we continue down into the psalm, we see verses 3 and 4 there. They say, "Know that the Lord, He is God. It is He who made us, and we are His. We are His people and sheep of His pasture. Enter His gates with thanksgiving and His courts with thanks, with praise. Give thanks to Him. Bless His name." In study this week, after the first time I read through this, I just simply wrote down, why do we give thanks? What sustains our gratitude in life? And then I realized that verses 3 and verses 4 are the answer to those questions because they ground our thanksgiving in the character and the work of God alone. I'm thankful for the songs that we sing on Sundays because they echo the truths we see in Scripture more than any words that I have could ever do. My worth is not in what I own. Rings loud and clear in these two verses. The command to know that the Lord, He is God, is foundational. It tells us that thanksgiving is rooted in our knowledge of God. Here, the psalmist is emphasizing that Yahweh is God alone. This is a radical idea in the ancient polytheistic world where they believed in multiple gods. Here, the psalmist is saying, Yahweh alone is God. We need that same reminder today because our culture today encourages us to place our hope and our gratitude and our thanks in things that we have created. Things like money and relationships and achievements. Be thankful for those things. Be grateful for those things. But here, Psalm 100 directs our thanksgiving to the Creator over all of those things that we create. Every truth learned about God gives us a reason to praise and be thankful because everything we do, everything that we are, everything in our lives rises and falls based on what we believe about who God is. That means that we never need to forget who we're serving and who we are relying on. We see clearly here that we are servants of a living God. And it's not just that we're servants of a living God. I think it's better for us to understand that we are children of a living God. This verse is packed with truth about who God is as our Father. We see the truth of His power there. It reminds us of the creative power of God that we have talked about. We all know God as Creator, but we forget that not just as Creator, He is the Creator of all things, but as the Creator of all things, He also has the power and the ability to recreate things. When we were tarnished by the stains of sin in our life, when we were crumpled up and thrown away and discarded by others in the world, what happens? God, through faith in Jesus Christ, redeemed us. And He makes us new in the image of His Son. Just that fact alone of His power that is revealed through His creation is enough for us to give Him glory for the rest of our lives. But when we add to this the fact that He can take this old, hellbound sinner person like me. And he can save me by his grace and transform me into the image of his son. How much more grateful am I in that instance? How much more grateful are you in that instance? If you cannot be thankful for Jesus for that, I don't know what you can be thankful for. The psalmist continues here. He says, it was he who made us, and we are his. We are his people and the sheep of his pasture. This statement is huge, and it is full of what is known as covenantal languages. As creator, God made us. As redeemer, he claims us as his own. We belong to him, not by our merit, but by his grace. And this is why this section is really one of my favorite sections in this psalm. And we're going to go into some New Testament stuff to look at what this truth is being spoken of here. Paul tells us about God, the person that we see here in Psalm 100 in Titus chapter 2, verse 14. He says, who gave himself for us to redeem us from all lawlessness and to purify for himself a people of his own possession who are zealous for good works. And this is what I want to focus on and why I love this passage so much. Is because of what we see here in Psalm 100 and how it points to Jesus Christ, and that we are truly his by the fact that he paid the price to redeem us from our sins. He came and died for us, paying the price to set us free. Now, that's great, but I want to teach a little bit in this moment if I can. There are three words that translated redeemed in the New Testament. These three words tell us a lot about who Jesus is and what he has done and who we are as his people. And so that's why I want to look at us that's for a moment. They're going to be on the screen, the references, everything. You can write them down, use your phone to take a snapshot of that, whatever you want for that. Or if you just want me to give you the notes for them, I will do that as well. The first word we see is found in Revelation chapter 5, verse 9. It says, there, and they sang a new song, saying, worthy are you to take the scroll and to open its seal, for you were slain by your blood you redeemed people for God from every tribe and language and people and nation. I'm focusing on that one word, redeemed, that is there. In Greek, that word literally means to buy in the marketplace. Within Scripture, specifically, this is a reference to purchasing a slave off of the auction block. You're paying full price for the slave right off the auction block. That's what Jesus did for us when he died on the cross. We, each and every one of us, are slaves to sin. He paid the full price so that we might no longer be slaves and owned by sin. Redemption through the blood of Jesus Christ. The next word is found in Galatians 4, verses 4 and 5. It says, but when the fullness of time had come, I'm going to pause there for a second. We're now looking forward to Advent. This is a great Advent verse as well. But when the fullness of time had come, God sent forth his son, born of a woman, born under the law, to redeem those who were under the law, so that we might receive adoption as sons. Now, the word there in Greek literally means to take off the market. In other words, Jesus didn't just pay the price for us. We're no longer for sale. He has no intention of turning around and selling us to somebody else. He bought us. He intends to keep us. He owns us. The fact that we are his and the power that he has forever to save us is seen here. And then the final one we see is in 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 18 and 19. It says, knowing that you were redeemed from the futile ways inherited from your forefathers, not with perishable things such as silver or gold, but with the precious blood of Christ, like that of a lamb without blemish or spot. Here, again, that word in Greek means to release after. the purchase price. It pictures, again, someone who buys a slave off of the auction block only to turn around and set them free. So I want us to understand the picture and why we look at all three of these words. When you were a slave to sin, God, through Jesus Christ, paid a price for each of us, removing us from that auction block of sin. We are now owned by Him. He owns us. We're no longer for sale. And then, by the blood of Christ, He sets us free, not to go back into sin, but to live a life of freedom for the purpose of seeking and reaching others who were just like us. That's what happens at the moment of salvation for you. What did God have to gain from this exchange? He gains absolutely nothing. What did we have to gain through faith in Jesus Christ in this exchange? Everything. What did we do to earn it? Absolutely nothing. Does it make sense? No. But being redeemed from sin to serve the Lord is the greatest reason to be thankful and give the Lord praise, especially in this season. In Psalm 100, we see this imagery of a shepherd and a sheep. And I'm automatically reminded of Psalm 23, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want," and how that just comes to life in all of this, because all of this points us forward to Christ as the good shepherd who lays down his life for his sheep. We're going to get to that when we look in John 10:10 here in a couple months. I'm excited about that. But because of all of this in verses 3 and verses 4, it leads us to thanksgiving. In verse 4, we're invited to enter his gates with thanksgiving and his courts with praise. In the Old Testament, this means going into the temple, the place where God's presence dwelled. But for us today, if we are in Christ, we have a direct access to God. Hebrews 4:16 encourages us to draw near to the throne of God through the throne of grace with confidence. And we begin to see that thanksgiving is the key to our worship. It opens the door for us to be worshiped. And they give us three great ways that we can express our praise and worship to the Lord. Our praise should be visible. We are to enter his gates with praise. It's not actively sitting in the corner or just sitting and doing nothing. It's not being behind closed doors and hiding from people. There should be no shame attached to our worship to the Lord. You should be proud to worship the Lord. Isn't pride a bad thing? Well, if you're taking pride and glory in yourself, yes. But that's not the pride I meant when I said that. I meant the pride that Paul talks about in Galatians 6:14, where he writes, "But far be it from me to boast except in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, by which I have been crucified, by which the world has been crucified to me and I to the world." That's the type of pride that each of us as believers should have, that in all that you do, you are visibly boasting in the cross of Christ and praising the Lord all the time. I've been asked what our praise should look like. Well, we see the answer here and in other psalms. Briefly, we see what the Hebrews did and how they practiced their praise to the Lord and what it could look like. First, we see clapping in Psalm 47, verse 1. It says, "Clap your hands, all the people, shout to the Lord with a loud song of joy." It's not just simply a round of applause. It can be a sudden, one loud clap that draws the attention to the fact that God is receiving praise from all of his people who are worshiping him. This morning, Psalm 63, verse 4, "Lifting your hands. So I will bless you as long as I live in your name, I will lift up my hands." When hands are lifted toward heaven, it was a sign of adoration and praise. Dancing. 2 Samuel 6:14, David danced before the Lord with all of his might. When David thought of the presence and the greatness of God, he danced unashamed before all those who were present. And so what we see here is not what we have to do for worship. But what we see here is that there is nothing wrong with a genuine, visible expression of praise and glory to the Lord. Again, there is nothing wrong with a genuine, visible expression of praise and glory to the Lord. We've talked about it. Our praise should be vocal. I'm not going to spend any more time on that, but we should be singing with praise and joy. We should be praising and worshiping out of choice. That's what's being covered there. But in all of this, what's the simple message for us? Praise the Lord because of who He is. Praise the Lord because of what He has done for you. Praise Him for who He is more than anything. Praise Him because He is God. But do it not because you have to. Do it because you love Him and because you want to worship Him. So how can you have confidence in giving thanks? Verse 5, it says, "For the Lord is good. His steadfast love endures forever, and His faithfulness to all generations." Our thanksgiving here is seen to be anchored in the unchanging truth of who God is. God is good. James 1:17 reminds us that every good gift and every perfect gift is from above. Even in trials, you can trust that God is working for our good. Think of Joseph and all of the betrayal that he endured, the slavery and the punishment that he endured. But in Genesis, he says, "What you meant evil against me, but God meant it for good." God is good. The steadfast love of God endures forever. I wish we could spend a ton of time looking at this one word. The steadfast love of God, hesed. We can go so deep on that and what that means. But what this is trying to convey is God's loyalty and His mercy, that His love is unchanging, that it's unconditional, that it's eternal. Paul echoes this in Romans chapter 8, declaring that nothing can separate us from the love of God in Jesus Christ. His said love, His faithfulness and His love, or His love will endure forever. And God's faithfulness endures all generations. It's not just for the nation of Israel in the Old Testament that we read about. It's not just for the nation of Israel in the New Testament. It's for all generations. Lamentations chapter 3 says, "The steadfast love of the Lord never ceases. His mercies never come to an end, and they are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness." Amen. So how do we apply Psalm 100? Haven't talked a lot about application. Three things. When we look at Psalm 100 and how to be a grateful and thankful person each and every day of our life. Three things. One, remember God's blessings. Having a life of thankfulness begins with remembering all that God has done. In verse 3, we read, "Know that He is the Lord. He is God." Remembering isn't something that's passive. It requires an active reflection on who God is and what He has done. We see multiple examples of this throughout Scripture. One, in Psalm 103, he says, "Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all of His benefits." So we need to practice remembering. How do we do that? Does anybody do a devotional time in the morning, in the evening, throughout the day? Does anybody journal? Take just a couple minutes to write down every day the blessings that God has given you. List ways that God has provided answers to prayer, that He's revealed His character and these truths to you. Don't just focus on the material blessings, but the spiritual and emotional and the mental blessings that are there. And over time, you'll begin to notice His goodness more and more and more in your life. One we don't think about in remembering is sharing your testimony. Share your story with others all the time. Doesn't matter if they've heard it 10 or 20 times. If you live with them, share your testimony. Remember who you were before Christ and who you are now in Christ. Share that with other people. It strengthens your faith, and it encourages others to remember the goodness of God as well. Just take a time to celebrate milestones. Remember the day of your salvation each and every year, if you remember the exact day. Remember the salvation of your children. Remember specific answered prayers. Remember lessons that he's learned, that you've learned, and that he's taught through trials. Remember these milestone moments. Use today as a yearly opportunity just to reflect on the fullness of God. Two, pray with gratitude. We just talked about it. Philippians 4, verses 6 and 7. Paul tells us there not to be anxious in anything, but in everything with prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. Notice that thanksgiving and thankfulness there is not a response to an answered prayer. It's accompanying a request for something, because thanksgiving expresses trust in God and his character and who he is even before you see an answer for it. Think of Daniel as he's facing the lion den and how he prayed. Think of Jesus in this moment is the first thing I thought of. Think of Jesus as he's feeding 5,000 with just a few fish and a few loaves, and how he prays to the Father and asks the Father. God the Son is trusting in the character and the provision of God the Father in that time. So, incorporate prayer or thankfulness into your daily prayers. Thank God for who he is, for specific blessings in your life, for specific answered prayers. When you're anxious about something, turn that into an opportunity to be thankful. If you're worried about finances or something going wrong, turn that around and thank God for his past provision in your life and his promises to continue to take care of you. I think we can all relate to that one specifically. Pray using thankful scripture like this passage. Think of Paul and Silas in Acts chapter 16. They were beaten, they were imprisoned, they were chained. And what did they do at midnight? They sang hymns, praising God for who he was and his provision. And as a result, what happened? The jailer was saved because they were thankful that God was providing for them. And then serve with joy. Psalm 100 calls us to serve the Lord with gladness. Again, Romans 12:1 tells us to offer our bodies a living sacrifice, which is our spiritual worship. Service is a tangible way to express how we are thankful to God. I think of Jesus in this moment, that on the night of his betrayal, what did he do? He took the time to serve and wash the disciples' feet, knowing that the cross was right there in front of him. And he served with a thankful heart, full of humility and love. So how do we take that and apply that? Look for opportunities to serve others and bless others, not just in a holiday season, but how can you serve your family? How can you serve in your community? How can you help a neighbor? Volunteer at a food pantry, a clothing outreach, discipling someone in need, helping others in need. Serve with a heart of gratefulness. Don't do it out of obligation. Don't do it to gain recognition. Get your family involved in how you serve. This is a big one for us in our life. Teach children and others the joy of service by doing service together with them. We practiced this when I was in youth ministry. Every year for Thanksgiving, on Thanksgiving Day, we would load up our church vans and parents' vans, and we would drive up to a local place, and we would spend the day serving in a kitchen, and we would serve food. And after we served food, we would grab our food as well, and we would go and we would sit with the people that we had just served. And what would we do? We would share our testimonies with them of all the good that God has done. We would pray with them and thank God for an opportunity to serve them. All of those applications I just listed can be done in that one moment and point to the goodness and steadfast love of God in that moment. I hope you see that Psalm 100 points us directly to Jesus Christ. That through him that we have a reason to give thanks, not just today, not just in this life, but in all eternity. Don't just make today about a holiday or this week about a holiday and being thankful and toss it out the window come Friday morning if you go Black Friday shopping or Cyber Monday or any of those things or get back into the busy hectic of life. Turn to Psalm 100 and realize that being grateful and thankful is something we're called to do each and every day as part of the rhythm of how we live our life. And when we do that, we truly do enter into his gates with thanksgiving in all that we do, not just today, but in every day. Would you pray with me? Heavenly Father, we just come before you in this time with hearts full of gratitude and praise. You who are our creator, you made us. You are our shepherd. You lead us. You redeemer. You are our redeemer who has saved us. Your steadfast love endures forever, and your faithfulness reaches to all generations. Father, I thank you for the gift of your son, Jesus, who's the ultimate reason for us to be thankful in this time of year. Father, through his life and his death and his resurrection, you open the gates of your presence to us, giving us eternal hope and unshakable joy. Lord, teach us to live with grateful hearts each and every day, not just in times of good and blessing, but also in times of trial. Help us to remember your goodness. Help us to trust your faithfulness. Help us to remember all you have done for us and to rejoice in your unchanging love. As we continue in our service with one more song, Lord, I pray that you fill our hearts with this song of praise, that you fill our lives with service and honor, that we may remember that every good and perfect gift does come from you. We love you and we praise you. It's in Jesus' name. Amen.